Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 29. The purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming Black real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. Shout out to our show sponsors, Mint Inc. Mint stands for the Minority Interdisciplinary Networking Team. Mint empowers young minority professionals with an interdisciplinary network for learning, collaboration, and the development of entrepreneurial ventures. You can become a member of their network for free at mintinc-usa.com. You can also follow them on Instagram at mintinc_USA. Also, shout out to a brother I had a conversation with in the DMs this week. His Instagram is at creditexpress247. And what he does is he works on providing everyday people with financial education. So if you're interested in that and learning about improving your credit score and things of that nature, he's definitely open to discussions and just kind of chopping it up with you about that. A couple announcements before we get into this week's episode. We hit 8,000 on Instagram last week, and as of Monday, May 11th, we're over 8,500. So it's just been a crazy few weeks. We've had about 1,000 new followers per week lately, and Corona has definitely been good to us, and it's just a testament to everyone's support. You know, we've been getting a lot of reposts and things. So hopefully this page is continuing to add value. Also had an Instagram live with the previous guest, Real Estate Friday. We spoke about investing in Detroit, wholesaling, and a host of other things. So definitely make sure to follow him and check out his interview. Also, don't forget to leave us a rating and a comment. Definitely will help us move up in the rankings, preferably a 5-star rating. We definitely appreciate that. Also, feel free to follow on Twitter at Bred Podcast, at BRED Podcast. I love talking to people on podcasts. It's a better way of engaging than Instagram, kind of one-on-one conversations and things. Definitely a different vibe on Twitter. So if you're on Twitter, definitely follow and make sure to engage. Also, check out all the resources in the show notes. Have a lot of resources from our partners and previous guests. So definitely make sure to take advantage of that. Anything from side hustles, tips to invest in real estate, and so on. We have a whole lot available for you. And lastly, feel free to sign up for our email list. Whenever any of our partners has a discount or whenever I'm working on something, the email list gets it first. So if you want to be the first people to get new information that you need, definitely feel free to sign up. Link is below in the show notes. And also feel free to buy our merch. It comes with a free home buyer's dictionary. Very excited about this episode. I know you all will get a whole lot out of it. So looking forward to hearing what you think. Without further ado, let's get into it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Here with me today, I have Rashana Scott from Chicago. Very excited to have you on, Rashana. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to have this conversation with you. So thanks so much.
For sure, for sure. So first, I know you do a whole lot within real estate. So before we dive in, could you give us an overview of what you do in real estate?
Yes, I'm a licensed real estate agent, Illinois licensed. However, I live in Chicago, and that's my primary market. I also have some investing experience, so tax lien experience. I have experience there, also raising private capital. My very first investment was I invested into someone else's deal, and then also I raised money for a couple of other projects that I've done. I guess I have kind of design experience, because when people ask me, oh my goodness, who designs your projects, I'm like, I do. But I mean I will say the good thing is the buyer side, you know, and the realtor side, I'm able to, you know what buyers are looking for. So going in, you know, to flip a property is like, you know, just making sure that I give them, you know, what they need. But yeah, so that is a little bit about what I do in real estate. Done some project management and things like that. You know, I do work with a lot of out-of-state investors who are looking to invest in Chicago and need kind of like that boots on the ground. So I serve as that too. But definitely all things real estate. And then also 80% of my clients are investors too. So that's why I call myself hashtag the investors realtor. Right. Because I do work with retail buyers also who want to buy a condo or single family home, but also multi-units and investments too.
For sure.
So we'd like to start off just talking about like childhood and growing up. So we'd love to hear more about what your childhood was like and what you saw or perhaps what you didn't see that shaped your view of what it meant to what it means to build wealth.
Yeah, so what I didn't see was any signs of, you know, wealth from a financial standpoint. I didn't see that. You know, what I saw was, you know, mostly just getting by, which is normal for a lot of folks in the Black community. Yeah, you know, I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. I'm actually one of seven. And so, you know, I have a lot of brothers and sisters, I have nieces and nephews. I was the first one in my immediate family to really start this like entrepreneur journey. So it's not like I had anyone in my immediate family who, you know, owned any type of business or anything like that. So to be honest, I mean, my parents did a great job raising, seven kids. None of us are, you know, thank God on drugs or dead or any of that, you know, any, like, you know, of course, you know, growing up inner city, there's so many different ways in which your life can go, you know, your life can turn. But my parents definitely did the best that they could. And, you know, we were all right. We lived an all right life. But I will say I started getting introduced to the idea and the possibility of more probably when I was in high school. And that's why I tell people exposure is so huge. Exposure is big. Exposure is key. Because the more you are exposed to things, that's when you are, that's when you say like, oh, it's possible, right? Oh, this can happen. Oh, this is attainable, right? Oh, this is something that I never even thought of ever. And now you say, well, you know, I think I would like for that to become my reality. So I would say, you know, during high school was when I kind of got that first realization of the idea of financial freedom and what was financial literacy and things like that. But I mean, you know, growing up, it was definitely common to, you know, sometimes we didn't have hot water, right? Or sometimes, you know, the lights got cut off, or sometimes like even my older sisters, because I'm on the younger end, my older sisters, you know, sometimes had to put like bills in their name, right? Because of, you know, my parents not being able to get financed or, you know, whatever, right? Also, they never owned a home either. You know, my parents never bought a home, and to this day, thankfully, my grandmother who is the matriarch for a lot of people's family. You know, my grandmother and my grandfather, they bought a house, which they've owned forever and still own. But yeah, no, so I didn't really see, you know, it within my immediate family, a lot of that. But I will say too, then I did have also one of my older sisters. She really went like the corporate route, and she bought a home early and things like that. And so I say all that to say that, again, I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth, but I didn't, you know, I didn't grow up in the slums or anything either. Like, we grew up a decent life. We weren't rich, but we were definitely paycheck to paycheck or close to it. You know, if something happened, like, the savings were not plentiful.
For sure. So when did you decide that you wanted to use real estate as a tool to build wealth? Because, you know, of course, it doesn't seem like you really were exposed to that in your younger days. So I would love to learn more about when was that moment that you decided, you know what, I think real estate is it for me?
The second that I read Rich Dad Poor Dad was when I said real estate was going to be for me. I knew that I wanted to, like, financial freedom, and I knew I wanted that whole thing. But when I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I knew, okay, real estate is going to be the way. Because it just made sense, you know, and it was something that I could understand. When I was 17, 18, 19, somewhere in there was when I read the book. And so I understood exactly what he was saying. And I think, like so many other people, you know, I was able to relate. And so that was when I said real estate is going to be the way.
For sure. And what did the beginnings look like when you first started your real estate career? Like, what did you, or investment, how did you start? Like, what did you do first?
So I actually had a mentor. I reached out to a friend of mine. I went to high school and I knew her dad did something in real estate. And so I reached out and I was like, hey, I want to learn real estate. And he was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. He's like, okay, well, meet me at the library. You know, let me see how serious you are. And I showed up, you know, met him at the library, and he just started breaking down like the very, very basics to me as far as, you know, what it meant to be an investor and what it meant to be a realtor and, you know, the terminology and things like that. So he really laid the foundation. He used to be a loan officer back in the day, before the crash. And however, you know, when the crash happened, I want to say like a lot of what he was doing, you know, dried up. And so, yeah, he was able to explain a lot to me and I was able to understand, you know, the basics of real estate. But from there, I was still also like, okay, what's next? What do I do? What do I do? You know? And yeah. I mean, I incorporated my first business when I was 19. He helped me with that and he taught me that. Then I was like, okay, now I want to buy property and what do I do? How do I do it? And I was kind of stuck. And so the next thing that I did was I went and got my real estate license because, of course, like a lot of people, I'm like, oh, well, I want to be in real estate. Let me just get my license, you know, knowing that I didn't need a license to invest. But at the same time, I was like, well, let me dip my toe in. Let me just see what I can do in this world of real estate, because in Chicago, you can be a leasing agent. And you can be licensed at 18 where you just work with like landlords and tenants and you know, rent out houses or apartments. And then at 21, you get your broker's license where you can actually do sales and things like that. But I was like, well, hey, I can at least get my leasing license and see what this is about. So I did that, you know, made a little bit of money. But the entire time of my journey, I was always working full time and in school full time and really just trying to figure out this real estate thing on the side. Fast forward a little bit, I spent thousands of dollars into a guru program trying to learn about like the investing side of real estate. And from there, invested in my first deal in 2015, which was a couple pennies that I had saved. But I was able to get that experience, you know, as a private investor in somebody else's project. But again, the entire time it was always working and trying to figure it out. And so that's why when I tell people, you know, people ask me, how did I get started? I tell people a lot of trial and error, a lot of trial and error, because, you know, some people just get started and they get it, but it's also different avenues in which you can invest in real estate, right? Mm-hmm. And like people nowadays have it so easy because they have people like you and myself who are online guiding them and giving them the game, giving them the free information. Hey, this is where you should start. Where, you know, 9 years ago, I was like, I didn't know where to start. 8-9 years ago, I was just lost and just trying to figure it out. And so it's been definitely a lot of trial and error because, you know, there's one thing to say, I want to invest in real estate, but then there's so many avenues in which you can invest. Right. But sure. That's what the very beginning looked like.
Cool. And I know, you know, we're still at the beginning, but a theme that I'm picking up here is that you just had a hunger for knowledge. You kept trying to learn, you kept asking, you just kept, you know, no matter what happened early on, even if it didn't make sense, you just kept trying, you know, you tried different things. And I'm sure, you know, in the beginning stages, even no matter what the results were, you just kept going. And I feel like a lot of people, you know, they reach some obstacles or maybe they don't understand something right away. And their tendency is kind of to give up or maybe this is not for me, but, you know, that's not always the case.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I remember actually saying that often that I was a sponge. I was like, I'm a sponge. I'm here to soak up all the information that I can get. And you are absolutely right. And it's funny, people would say that about me. They would say, man, you're so curious. You ask a lot of questions. And I've been like that from day one, you know, coming out of the womb. My mother said I was grown. But that was it, right? I want to figure out, like, one of the greatest Greek philosophers, you know, of our time, whoever lived, Socrates, he got actually exiled from his city for asking too many questions because they thought he was trying to be, but in all actuality, he was just trying to figure things out. And he wanted people to understand that you don't know what you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I found that out, and when I discovered that in my Greek philosophy class that I took in college, I was like, you know what? Okay, I'm on the right track. So, you know, you gotta keep asking questions because, again, you don't know what you don't know. And you're right, you have to be a sponge. You cannot. And I think, you know, oftentimes we are afraid to ask questions because mm-hmm. we are afraid of letting people know that we don't know. When, mm-hmm. you know, we feel like we gotta put on this facade, we feel like we gotta be fake and act like we got it all together when, you know, a lot of times we don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you talk to us more about the first deal that you were part of? I know you mentioned you made a small contribution, but what was that experience like? I'm sure, you know, being able to be on that project gave you a certain level of access and you were able to kind of see how things work. So can you talk to us more about what that was like?
Yeah, absolutely. So that first investment was a condo flip that someone was doing, and they were raising money on, and I invested $2,500. The minimum investment was like $5,000, and I didn't even have that. You know, I was a broke college student, but I knew I wanted to get into real estate. And I had already invested, you know, money into this program and that program, and I'm going into as many free workshops and seminars as I can when you hear that the gurus are coming to town or whatever the case, right? Oftentimes, not only am I the youngest in the room, but I'm a young Black woman in the room. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm in the room because I want to learn and I want to ask questions. And, you know, a lot of times I'm sitting there with people who are 2 and 3 times my age, you know, at the time. I mean, I'm 21, 22, you know, sitting here with people who could be, you know, my mother and father or my grandmother, my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, I'm showing up because I'm asking questions. But yeah, so that project was a flip condo. I invested $2,500 and it was a 12-month investment and I got my $375 back. But it was such a liberating feeling because literally I didn't have to do anything. I wrote the check and then I sat back and didn't have to do anything. But the good thing about it is that I was able to be a part of something bigger. Right? Like, no way could I have taken on, you know, $100,000 project by myself at the time. I didn't know how. I didn't have the knowledge or the resources. You know, I was still just trying to learn and trying to figure it out. But being able to be a part of that project, I was like, man, you know, I was showing up and I was asking questions again, right? I was showing up and I was asking questions and I wanted to be a part of what was going on. So, okay, you know, this is a condo. So, you know, we had a plumbing leak. Is that the issues of the HOA? Is that the issues of the homeowner? Is that, you know, just finding out little things about this and that and things that made the project move right along and things that halted the projects, any issues or anything. And the investor who I invested with, she actually said, she was like, man, you showing up, you know, more than my $35,000, $40,000 investors. But that's because I was so intrigued and interested in learning. And you know, I talk about this all the time is that, you know, that's an opportunity for people to mentor hack. You know, if you invest in a deal, because a lot of people are looking for, you know, mentors for free and they don't want to put any skin in the game. But if you, you know, put some money in the game, now that gives you an opportunity to be a part of the project so you can show up and you can learn.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
And something else that I want to pull from that story is that you mentioned that you made a $2,500 contribution to a larger project. And there are even some people who feel like what they have is not enough or may not even ask. You know, you mentioned the minimum was $5,000, but you figured out, you know, you were able to get in with much less.
Yeah, I just asked. I was like, please, can I invest? I know the minimum is $5,000. All I got is $25,000. Can I please, you know, give you my money?
Sure. So where do things go from there? Real estate wise.
Yeah. So real estate wise. So from there, I'm trying to think. I was still in the program. So like I said, the Guru program. Mm-hmm. Also, I was able to network a lot. That was a nationwide program that allowed me to travel to other markets, network with other investors and things like that. I did go back and get my broker's license, because actually when I first got my license in 2013, when I was just, like I said, a leasing agent, I did that for a year and I was like, no, I'm not doing this. You know, just, it's a lot of hustle for not a lot of money, as just when you're just working with rentals. But I did decide, you know, I know that I can make more on the sales side. So I did go back and get my license, my broker's license, and at the end of 2017, also had some other investments, some that went okay, some not okay, not so well, some, you know, lost money on, and then also had some partnerships that didn't go mm-hmm. so good either. So a lot of lessons were learned there. At the end of the day, I learned to bet on myself, because I am a huge believer of not only just group economics, because I feel like there's a certain way that you can structure it to where you can protect yourself. But I'm also a big believer of, like, I believe, like, we can go further together, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, being young and naive, I didn't always have the right contract in place. I didn't always have the right understanding of, you know, what I was fully getting into. But I was like, hey, you know, you got this piece of the puzzle, I got this piece, let's put it together and make it happen. But some lessons were learned in that. Definitely. And so, you know, again, fast forward. So through that, like I said, more investments, more partnerships, some tax lien investing, and some more flips. And then more so, like I said, getting into the broker side of things, which is the majority of what I do now, right? In Chicago, the market is crazy. And so that is the majority of what I do now. And it'll be going on, I guess, 3 years now that I've been back licensed, because, like I said, I was doing my, you know, sales in 2013. I was working on rentals. But yeah, so going on 3 years now that I'll be licensed. And I really just got my license, as a lot of investors do. Yeah. Oh, I just got my license to, you know, help me with investing, or so I have access to the MLS, I can, you know, find more deals and that type of thing. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna just help out friends and family too, because you know, a lot of people saw me, like, going to these networking events and being with investors, and they would reach out looking for a realtor, and I'll always refer them out. So then I was like, okay, well, I'll get my license, and then maybe, you know, I make a little bit of extra money on the side. I had no idea that it would turn into this.
That's amazing. So a couple of things. Can you talk to us more about some of those, maybe one or two of those deals or partnerships that just didn't go as planned? And I also appreciate you mentioning that, because a lot of times we see, you know, social media is a highlight reel, right? I mean, as humans, right, we're most likely just going to post when things went well, you know, and I mean, it's not a problem, but I think there is another side.
Yeah, I had one deal where I worked with the investors, and my job was to raise the money for the project, and then the other individual, their job was to manage the rehab of it, right? Licensed GC. Like, I am not a licensed GC. I'm still not a licensed GC. It definitely has crossed my mind, but that's not really, like, my passion. You know, that's not my, you know, there's so many things, you know, that you deal with. But at the same time, it's crossed my mind more than once. So, you know, who knows? 6 months from now, I might be a GC. I might be a GC. But anyway, so I was not a licensed GC. And so this individual, they were supposed to, you know, handle that side of it. Well, anyway, at the end of the day, when it was all said and done, found out, like, they inflated the rehab numbers and just wasn't truthful about the entire scope of the project and how the money was spent and where it was going and things like that. And so actually that is pretty common.
So it seems like that kind of thing happens pretty regularly.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't know that, but it does. It does. A lot of times people get into partnerships or relationships and they don't have The right contracts or the right understanding. Integrity is a huge piece. Transparency is a huge piece. You know, having the hard conversations up front. Those are all definitely big pieces. And so a lot of lessons, you know, learned there. In regards to trusting people, you know, trusting people's word and, you know, like the benefit of the doubt and all of that. And I think we hear it often in business, like, oh, have your contracts in place. But sometimes, you know, individuals can be, they can lack the confidence to have those right contracts in place, right? Because there's really, you know, you're trying to do business and you know that you have something that you can bring to the table, but maybe you've never worked with an attorney before. Maybe you never had to talk to an attorney. Like, you don't even know what to say, right? And all of that can be intimidating to people where it's their very first time in business. So, you know, I definitely highly recommend getting a mentor if possible. And most of the time, and I'm not even going to say a mentor, more so a coach, right? More so a business coach, because the mentor actually finds the mentee, because it's most situations where, you know, it has to be someone who has the capacity and the time and wants to, you know, pour into, you know, another individual. But more so definitely a business coach, someone that you can ask questions to, bounce ideas off and things like that when you're first starting in this industry. Because there's a lot of things, again, you know, like Socrates, right? You don't know what you don't know. And so in this industry, like, you can get eaten alive with not knowing a lot of things, you know, and taking advantage of, unfortunately.
For sure, for sure. But, you know, you kept going. You kept going. Didn't stop you there.
I didn't have a choice. what Nip say, you know, 10 toes down, never fold. So,
yeah. That's good.
So, I mean, but seriously, like, and it's not just me, like almost every real estate investor I know has had to overcome some type of hurdle, whether it was a bad partnership, a bad relationship. They lost money on a deal. They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on education or whatever the case, right? Like, you're investing in yourself and is learning lessons along the way. It is what it is, you know? And like I said, a lot of us don't have that person we can call and ask, you know, am I making the right decision or the wrong one? You know, a lot of us don't have that. Right. And a lot of us don't have all the answers. But again, right. The good thing that we do have in 2020 is the internet. And diversity is free.
Yep.
And podcasting, you know, listening to the Gems on like different podcasts, like that's free. So, you know, I tell people, do not sleep on the free knowledge, the free game that is out there at all, you know, because a lot of folks who are sharing their story, I mean, we're sharing it from expertise, from experience.
Right.
And so, you know, you can take that others' experience and grow and learn from that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I know some of the main things you do, as you mentioned before, is raising private capitals for your projects. And a lot of people, you know, naturally, like, well, I don't have money. You know, I want to flip, or I want to do this, I want to do that. I don't have money. So can you talk more about some of the strategies you've used over the years to raise capital and what it's been like for you?
Yeah, so it's definitely been a process. You know, you have to, one, know the different ways in which people can invest in real estate. So whether it's cash, credit, or their retirement account, you know, a lot of people don't know that you can actually take your 401k or you can take your IRA. And you can roll it into a true self-directed IRA, and you can actually invest in real estate tax-free or tax-deferred. And a lot of people don't know that as a resource, right? The same thing as if you have a decent credit, like 700+, you can get like different business credit cards or different business lines of credit at 0% interest for 12 to 18 months. And, you know, you can turn around and use those to invest or you know, finance a rehab, you know, buy materials from, you know, the hardware store and things like that. And also obviously having cash, but, you know, just sharing with people those resources. And then also in regards to the business credit, pointing people in the right direction on where they can go and actually apply and receive mm-hmm. that funding, right? So that's how a lot of the, you know, those private investment and funding conversations start out, because it's a matter of helping individuals identify, you know, do they have the resources? And if so, you know, this is where we can go, right? But yeah, so that's the beginning of the conversation. And then from there, you know, we talk about what things look like. We talk about the return. We talk about the risk. We talk about, you know, a number of different things when it goes to investing. And it's the same thing that I had to go through when I first invested into another project. So yes, people can invest in real estate, you know, using other people's money. I don't recommend it for your very first deal. Because there's so many things that can go wrong, like I said, especially when you're flipping. And then you're going to still be learning, even on your third, fourth, fifth, sixth deal, you are going to still be learning, because no house is the same. Right? You're going to have a new problem, a new leak, a new, you know, a new issue, a new hurdle. But what I recommend is people, you know, who have experience and have figured out, you know, a way to minimize their risk, or they've gotten down a system, you know, working with solid, reliable contractors and things like that. You know, then you can raise private capital and work with, you know, other investors and things like that. But just starting out is definitely best to, you know, invest your own money or working with a partner, right? Because right. That's the other side to that too, because a private investor is hands off, you know, they invest with you and, you know, they depend on you to do what you need to do and then, you know, provide them with a return. But if you're investing with a partner, like they're in the trenches with you, you know, they understand, they got to get in with you. And, you know, if a problem arises, like it's not on you, it's on the business. And, you know, your partner will understand that. So, you know, if you have the credit, but you don't have the cash, or somebody else has the cash, you know, but doesn't have the credit, like, and that's what I was saying, like the partnerships, I definitely believe in that, the power of partnerships, but it's definitely a matter of having, you know, the right paperwork and the right understandings in place.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And the private investors, are these people, you know, are they just people that you meet or that hear about you? A little bit of both.
So it's been a mix. Yeah, it's been a mix of warm market and cold market. People just seeing what I do online and want to work with me. And then also people who know me, or people who mm-hmm. know of me, or people, you know, who know me through whatever, right? Because I do have a brand on social media, you know, people are seeing what I'm doing, and they hear my story and they want to be a part of it. But, you know, what I tell people is that, hey, people want to work with people who they see are working, right? And so you have to get out there. You know, no one would invest with me if I didn't have a social resume, if I wasn't showing that I was doing this and doing that, you know, and online, you know, doing the things that I say that I'm doing and showing that.
For sure. And so as far as finding properties to flip, how do you go about it? How do you go about, I guess, sourcing those deals?
So it can be properties that are on the MLS, or we have a resource here called the Land Bank. Mm-hmm. And I know some cities, some counties, some areas do or don't have it. But then there's a lot of other community organizations that sell property and even finance property, you know, at every different level. So what I encourage people to do is find out, you know, what city organizations are in your market that are dealing with real estate. And so we have a pretty big organization here that buys property in the entire Cook County, not just in Chicago. And it's properties that are dilapidated, you know, tax delinquencies, liens, judgments, everything. And it's properties that's like just been sitting vacant, you know, for years, and they are able to take them and get all of those liens, judgments, things like that cleared, and they actually put it back out to redevelopers to go in and develop and, you know, revitalize and rejuvenate the community and get that property back on the tax roll. And so that has been a great resource for finding deals, but also the MLS too. You know, mm-hmm. you don't sleep on what's on the market. And MLS is the multiple listing service, a multiple listing site. It's the site that all realtors have access to, and it's state specific. So like I have access to the MLS for Illinois. Mm-hmm. And it updates in real time too. So that is, you know, when a property is new. So when properties go out to like a Zillow or a realtor.com or Redfin or whatever, those all filter from the MLS. And so you can still find properties on there too. You know, it's definitely going to be a matter of knowing your market, knowing what type of properties are selling, what types of buyers are buying in the area, what are the average days on market, you know, things like that. And because sometimes you can look at a property that's on the market and you say, hey, man, this looks like a great deal. You know, let me go and check it out. Like a friend of mine, she's done a couple of successful flips, and I asked her the same question, and she's actually had success from targeting specific areas that she knows she wants to flip in and then going on the MLS and literally just filtering it to look at the property that has been on the market the longest. She looks at it to see which one is in that area that's been on the market the longest. And then, you know, she does her numbers and then obviously, and then makes her offer, you know, because she knows it's an area that she wants to be in. You know, the price points are at a certain price and the days on market makes sense to her. And so she knows she wants to be in the market. And if it's, if nobody else wants it, you know, she wants to figure out why. And then maybe she can get it at a price, you know, where it makes sense. And she's had some successful deals like that. So I definitely keep that, always keep that in the back of my mind when it comes to, like you said, you know, how do people find deals or are looking for deals? The other thing too is always off market. Off market is gold. So I don't currently actively market for off market, like wholesale deals and the wholesale strategy. However, I have dabbled in a little bit, and I'm sure I'll be doing a lot more in the future, but creating relationships with individuals who do that all day long. You know, they're marketing specifically for off-market properties. They're going directly to sellers, whether they're doing, you know, voicemail drops, text blasts, or like direct mail marketing campaigns and things like that. Some deals have also come off-market. Some deals have also came through social media, you know, then slid in the DMs on the gram. So it's been a number of different ways, right? Being open to all possibilities and all avenues, but the thing is being able to recognize a deal when you come across one.
For sure. And see, I like that. It seems like you're open to many different ways of receiving deals and finding out what could be the next opportunity, which I think is good. You know, sometimes we get comfortable with one way. You know, we can say, you know, someone can say, no, I do MLS, but you can, like you said, you can get a deal in DM, you can get a deal from a wholesaler or in different ways. So I think it's very, really cool that, you know, you have all those different ways of sourcing deals.
Right.
For sure. So I want to talk a bit more about Chicago. You know, of course, Chicago, we hear these things in the media and, you know, for somebody who's not from there, it's very easy to buy into that, right? That's just kind of what the media does. And I had an interesting experience in Chicago. I was there in July for the first time. I had a sister living there at the time, and we just went, everywhere. She was staying downtown, but we went everywhere. We went to Hyde Park, different parts of the South Side. We were kind of just driving around, you know, we didn't really have a destination at times. And what's the name of that popcorn place?
Garrett's.
We went to Garrett's in Englewood. And then we kind of just drove around, just checking the area out. And we were on, I want to say West 63rd. There was a Whole Foods, I think. And you just kind of drove down, drove down that street. And I saw a lot of like abandoned buildings and warehouses and things. And the first thought that came to my mind, I'm like, you know what? There's going to be two people who see these. who see this street. It's going to be one person who says, this is garbage. Like, why would people want to live here? And another who says, I know, I can imagine what this could be. You know, this could be built out and built out for the community. This could be housing and such. And I don't know, just the experience I had there, it was nothing like what I saw on the news. And I, afterward, I was telling people, I'm like, you got to ignore what's on the news. Like, Chicago is an amazing city. We were on the train. We're everywhere. We had a lot of fun. We didn't feel unsafe at all. You know, obviously you see certain stuff, but that's anywhere. So can you talk more about that aspect, especially you being from there and of course dealing with investors from out of state and just having a lot of those kind of interactions?
Yeah. I mean, it comes from a few different sides, and it's the individual, I would say, because there are some individuals, like I said, we're dealing with out-of-state investors, you know, the inner city or the hood or, you know, certain areas don't affect them at all. You know, some of them, they feel like, you know, they're from inner city and they're like, I guess some investors from Philly and, you know, all they invest is, you know, in inner city in Philly. And they like, hey, well, you know, Chicago can't be worse than Philly. Like, that's how, you know, some people, I've heard people say, oh, I'm from this part of Jersey. It can't be worse than that, you know? So I've heard, you know, some of that. So it's, you know, it's based on the individual, but then also, you're absolutely right. You know, with believing with what's on the news and things like that, I think that depends on the individual too, you know? I mean, and I agree, I love my city. So I tell people the same thing too, you know, you gotta come and see it. But you know, the saying is, you know, cash flows best in the Midwest. So any investors that are looking for cash flow investments, then they are looking at Chicago, or they're looking at a Detroit, or they're looking at, you know, a Cleveland or something like that. You know, they're looking at the Midwest because it's, you know, great city. And like you said, we have a little bit of everything that individuals can be looking for. But then also it's a place that people want to live. At the end of the day, it's a place that people want to live. And like you said, you know, there's still a lot of undeveloped areas too. You know, there's still a lot of opportunity. So like you said, it just depends on which way people are looking at it. And like you said, bad can happen everywhere, right? I choose to not go in certain areas and not work in certain areas. You know, I'm just not called to be in certain areas. And I don't go in areas that I just don't have no business being in, you know? But yeah, it's not. And then that's the other thing too, right? Like, it's like Chicago, Chicago, Chicago. Chicago is huge. So, you know, if the news is literally showing one little segment, you know, of this huge, you know, 3 million population city, like, is that really a good depiction of, you know, what Chicago truly is?
For sure. For sure. So what does the future look like? What are you planning to get into? Where do you want to take your brain and your investing career?
So, continue helping more people, you know, that's really the trajectory. That's where I am now. That's what I've been able to accomplish. And then, I definitely see more of that, you know, in the real estate side, on the investing side, on the home ownership side, you know, I really see that, in that capacity. And then also, you know, for myself, more, you know, just more real estate, you know, creating generational wealth and wealth building through real estate. And that can be a number of things. That can be through different partnerships. It can be in-state. It could be out-of-state. You know, like, I love Chicago, but I do know there's a lot of great opportunities. You know, I have a lot of great friends through networking and, you know, thankful to social media. I know a lot of Black real estate investors from all across the country now, that, like you said, I can call up and have a conversation. We can talk about partnering and things like that. And everything is on the up and up. You know, it's not like the partnerships that I had back in the day. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, just really, you know, continuing to push the culture forward and working to shift as the market shifts, right? Like, we're in a time right now where there's a lot of uncertainty. However, real estate is an essential business. It's been deemed an essential business, and which means real estate doesn't stop. But the market can change, you know, at any second, day to day, drastically. And so it's really about how we can adjust to the change, you know, and be able to master that and be able to continue to navigate around that, because there's going to be a lot of opportunity, you know, whether it's in this downturn or the next or whenever, you know, it's just a matter of being in position and taking advantage of those opportunities when they come. But you have to be in position beforehand, you know, don't wait until it gets here. And so continuing, like I said, to educate and empower the community about getting in, being in, and staying in position to take advantage of opportunities when they come.
For sure. For sure. And what advice would you give to someone who is interested in flipping? You know, they heard it's a great way to build up capital, to invest and things of that nature. Based on everything you've learned, what are some tips you would give somebody like that who's trying to get into the game through flipping?
So I would actually tell them to probably start off wholesaling. I would more than likely tell them to start off wholesaling because it's a low barrier to entry. Illinois is the only state, or it might be Illinois and one other state, but I know Illinois for sure is one of the only states where you have to be licensed in order to wholesale real estate. Any other state in the country, you can wholesale. I think Virginia is one of them, but I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, you can wholesale, and it's a great way to get into real estate with no money, no credit, or should I say low money, because you know, to do the correct marketing methods and things like that, that's going to cost money. But it's a simple way to get into real estate and start getting familiar with contract terms, negotiations, you know, dealing with contractors, estimates, and all of that. And what I tell people is that when you go into flipping, you know, you definitely, it's all about the numbers. It's all about the market. It's a numbers game, and having your numbers tight. And also flipping is not all that is cracked up to be. I'll tell them that too. You know, it's best to flip. You know, a lot of people are going to get financed through a hard money lender to flip. But I really, from my experience, it's best to flip properties if you just have the cash, because you don't have to wait on the bank for draws. Every time you pay a draw, you have to pay a fee. Sometimes, you know, when you schedule a draw, they don't come out right away. So now that's slowing down your project. There's, you know, interest rates, there's, you know, a number of different fees and things like that. So that's one way to just minimize a lot of things, you know, that can happen with your budget, but then also your contractor too. That is a huge, huge deal, you know, when you're talking about flipping a property, because you don't have time to waste or to argue or to, you know, deal with unnecessary drama. Like, you're already gonna get enough things that are gonna pop up out of your control. The last thing you need is, you know, to not be on the same page with your contractor. So that's gonna be huge too, you know, building up those relationships. And, you know, a lot of people even say, like, well, how do I find a good contractor? Referrals, 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 you know, get in some local Facebook groups, you know, whatever your city is, you know, Chicago real estate investors, Chicago, whatever, right? Google it, you know, and I'm sure there's so many groups and meetup groups and online groups and things like that that are out there, and communities of investors that you can join where you can ask for those referrals. But yeah, so those are, you know, like you said, a couple of pointers that I would give. For one, for somebody who's looking to get into flipping, don't rush into it. For two, you know, build up your cash. And one way to do that can be through wholesaling. But then once, you know, you decide that you actually still do, you know, at that point, if you still want to get into flipping, you know, keep in mind that there is a lot of liability, you know, understand how you're going to finance it. And then how are you going to work with your contractors too? Because that's going to, you know, say a lot about your deal.
For sure. And speaking of contractors, what's been your experience with contractors? What of, I guess, some of the highs, some of the lows?
I mean, I'm still working through. Yeah. I'm still working through. Like, I met a contractor today that I liked his energy and vibe. He walked He happened to be at a project that I was walking earlier, and he knew who I was, but I didn't know who he was. But he was, you know, he seemed like he knew his stuff, and I was like, okay, you know, maybe we can do something together. So yours it's almost ever evolving until you have literally found like that marriage. You know, there's some people who are married to their contractor who have great relationships and they're with them forever. I've not found that yet. So I'm still open, but, you know, the vetting process is definitely, you know, gotten stricter. You know, I want to see current projects. I want to see, I want to make sure you have, you know, the budget and the wherewithal, you know, to get started with this project, to fund it, you know, to do whatever. Right. So it's still a work in progress. I've had some great experiences with contractors and some not so great experiences. So, you know, with contractors not wanting to warrant their own work, you know, like it's work that they already did, but they didn't do it right. And so we just ask them to come back and fix it and do it right. They want to charge you. And it's like, you didn't do it right the first time, you know? So there's so much, there's a lot, but it's definitely, it's a learning process for myself and everybody who has to go through it. Cause you got to go through it. You got to go through it. Again, unless you have, like I said earlier, you know, a mentor, a business coach who is bringing you right to their awesome and amazing contractor that they've had a relationship with for years, you know?
Yep, definitely. And I think it's been a big theme in the interview is that you just continue to learn. You just continue to learn and keep the ball rolling and just not, in the face of anything that happened, you just kept going. You kept learning from each experience, taking it, refining until you're where you're at today. And you're, like you said, you're still working, you're still learning and growing, but you're still going as well.
Yeah.
For sure. Can you tell us more about Flipping Heels?
Yeah, of course. So Flipping Heels is my baby. Yes. So Flipping Heels was created to highlight and educate successful women in real estate. To highlight them, but then also to educate women who were looking to get involved in real estate and learn, you know, a lot more about investing. Like I said, when I spent my thousands of dollars in the Guru program, it was not with a woman-owned company, a woman-run company, and it was definitely not a Black woman really in sight. I think it was maybe like two or three, or, you know, it wasn't that many at the entire company, especially ones who were quote unquote successful. And so, you know, as I mentioned earlier, representation is key, right? Exposure is key. So seeing people who are successful or at a certain level who look like you, you know, people who are experiencing success, or just, you know, a support group really for women in general, you know, women of all colors, because it is a very male-dominated industry. And, you know, women, I wanted to show that women in real estate could be more than just realtors, you know, wearing a pretty skirt and opening the doors to nice homes, you know. You know, you have general contractors, you have, you know, your landlords, you have your flippers, you have, you know, a lot of women who are really in the nitty-gritty of it, and it's not all pretty, right? So Flipping Heels, it's a community that was created for that. And then under Flipping Heels, there's a women's membership group, and it's called Infinity. And it's called Infinity because the community is ongoing, right? It's never ending. It's not a course that has a beginning, middle, and end, but it has a membership, because I believe that wealth building is an ongoing conversation. Like, we can be at different journeys. We can be at different steps and phases, or we will be at different steps and phases throughout our wealth building journey. And you may not need, you know, everything all at once, but you may need this here, this here, this there. So I wanted to create that type of space and that type of community for women where we could support one another in that capacity too. So, yeah. Sure. And so that's just, so that's a monthly membership. And, you know, the link is in the bio and things like that. But we are growing every single day.
That's amazing.
So I'm excited. Yeah, so I'm excited about that. And again, continuing the conversation and the purpose-driven work, you know, to help more women invest in real estate, you know, more homeowners and more people educated, you know, in our communities and things like that.
For sure. For sure. Big shout out to you for doing that and, you know, and paying it forward and sharing the knowledge and helping people everywhere, all over the country. Wow. This has been a really, really amazing interview. And just the thing that keeps coming through my mind is just the fact that, you know, you started where you started, you know, $2,500 investment, and there were some bumps along the way, but look where you are now, you know, in a short period of time. So I think it's definitely an inspiration to me and to others that, you know, you just have to get in the game. You just have to learn. And like you said, the big advantage we have now is there's so much information on social media, on the internet, YouTube, and there's a lot of information where people can be at an okay place. There are, you know, the Infinity membership, different opportunities for people to gain education so they feel in a comfortable place for whatever their first step is. But that wouldn't be possible without people, without someone taking some bumps, you know, being able to help people out. So I really do appreciate you dive more into that. And how can people find you if they like to connect with you, if they like to join your community? Where should they go?
Yes, I'm Rashana Scott everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm also Flipping in Heels on Instagram. So either way, you know, you can find me across any of those platforms, and you can click the link in my bio, you know, to join my community. I'm also an affiliate of a friend of mine who has an amazing house hacking course. So that link is in my bio too, because I teach and preach and breathe the idea of house hacking to so many people. You know, a lot of my clients go that route and prefer to, you know, house hack. And that's, you know, another way to build wealth. So yeah, so all the information, you know, click the link in my bio and we can definitely connect. So thank you so much for having me, Orm. I really appreciate you having me.
For sure, for sure. It was a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners?
Like you said, just, you know, get in the game. If you want to get started, get started. Figure out what you need to do to be in position to get to where you want to be, and then just do that. You know, whatever the rules of the game are, figure out the rules and then, you know, learn the rules so you can get in the game and play.
For sure. For sure. Well, thank you again, Rashawn. I really appreciate you coming on. And thank you to everyone for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bred Podcast, at BRED Podcast. Look forward to connecting with you all soon.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.